You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hello and welcome, my guy. I know that's not how we normally start the show, but that is how we would start the Total Soccer Show / Cooligans collabs and crossover episodes. The reason we're starting the show this way and with this sort of tone is because if you guys haven't heard, Daryl Grove of the Total Soccer Show has been sent to hospice. And thank you, Taylor, for updating everyone and all the fans. His doctors have basically told him there's nothing more they can do. Cancer is just
the worst.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's the worst. This is a difficult time. It's a difficult as comedians, you know, we've been in situations where serious things have happened in our lives, in the world. And you know, sometimes the show must go on. But we just want to make it very clear and known, like to Daryl specifically, that we're thinking about you. We love you. It sucks. I mean, it just sucks. I mean,
there's nothing else you could really say.
There's nothing really else. Yeah. Else you can say. When we heard the news and the diagnosis to right now, it's put these moments, the moments that we did have, they feel even more special because it feels, Daryl especially approached it and confronted it with optimism, with love, with encouragement, was not looking for pity.
No, he handled it the best out of all of us. To be honest with you. And I look back at the 3 weeks that we shared on the road and the other shows and events that we did, whether it was the United Soccer Coaches Convention or just the time we hung out in Philly for the first time and all that. And, it's great to reminisce and think about all those wonderful moments. And I want to send just a loving note to Taylor and his wife, who are very close friends with Daryl, and obviously Daryl's wife. We love you. It sucks that we can't be there with you at the moment. Just know that you have two very close friends here in New York who absolutely love you.
I can only echo those exact statements. There's so many people who've sent us messages who are fans of Total Soccer Show who the Cooligans wouldn't be the Cooligans without 100%. Total Soccer Show. So, if this is your first time watching this show, obviously my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. Yes, we are the Cooligans. And
we're the reasons Daryl had to bleep so much of those crossover episodes.
Okay. We were the thing that were frustrating Daryl so much during editing. So it's difficult to find the words, but the amazing thing is that Daryl is so adored. And when we learn that even more when we were out on tour, how many people came up to both of us saying like, oh, I've been listening to TSS since 2004 or 2010 or whatever. Yeah. Like they're just like, there were always people that were like that Total Soccer Show was a part of their lives. Daryl and Taylor are our friends, but they are friends to the American soccer community.
Yeah. And let it be known, and it doesn't need to be said, but Daryl, in part with Taylor, changed and advanced American soccer. He has left an indelible mark on American soccer. American soccer wouldn't be where it is today. The culture of it wouldn't be where it is today if it wasn't for someone like Daryl and someone like Taylor doing what they did with Total Soccer Show. And if we've said it before and we'll say it again, Cooligans wouldn't be where we are if it wasn't for someone like Daryl. We absolutely love you, and we hope that you're in a very peaceful moment right now, and that you're not in pain, because you've been in pain for too long, and it's exactly unfair. Just so you guys know, we have Miguel Gallardo from Orlando City. We recorded that interview prior, so our tone may be different. He'll be on as soon as we get back.
welcome, my guys, to another Total Soccer Show Cooligans crossover episode.
All right, welcome back to the Cooligans Living Room FC, and make sure to stick around because we will be joined by Miguel Gallardo of Orlando City, one of the announcers, former player, and we talk about Orlando City, and now they're finally in the playoffs for the first time.
Okay. 6 years.
6 years. So a lot to discuss with Miguel. Yeah. All right. Let's start real quick with a subject that the news broke a couple days ago about the Supporter Shield. The Supporter Shield, the foundation, I forgot the name of it, but the people who maintain and manage, created.
Isn't it the ISC? The
No, it is not the ISC. It is.
I always assumed it was them.
It is not. It is a different organization. I'm sure the people involved in the Supporter Shield group are involved in ISC in some way, but it is a separate thing. So they've decided that they will not be awarding the Supporter Shield to any team for 2020. And the reasons, and I'm paraphrasing, are generally COVID. A lot of the teams have not played the same amount of games. It is difficult to determine, who actually deserves the Supporter Shield because of all these inconsistencies in the schedule and things like that. Given the reasons behind it, I understand why they would not want to award the Supporter Shield. But this has pissed off a lot of people.
Let's just say everyone. It seems everyone, except for the people who voted on this decision, seem to be upset. I think some people can understand the decision, but they're also not happy about it. At least that's what I'm seeing on social media and even in our own Gully Squad chat. Here's my thing. Why? You know what I mean? Like, why? This year has been so difficult. These players have risked their lives.
Yeah.
Why? And by the way, we've never had a balanced schedule. MLS has never been balanced. You know, we have an uneven amount of teams for so long. Like, why? None of this makes sense.
There are a lot of factors, right? Like, some teams had their games canceled, or postponed. You don't even know if they're going to be playing the same amount of games. But the point that you're making about, the players themselves have risked a lot who do they play for? They're not simply just playing for a salary, right? They are also like playing for the supporters. They know what it means to the people at home, right? Like, we do comedy, right? And for the majority of our lives, we feel like, why did I get into this profession? What am I doing with my life? Right. And then you meet somebody that's like, hey, thank you so much. You made me laugh. You made my day better. And you're like, oh, okay. Oh,
wait, someone's told you that? That's not fair. Where was that same person when I got off stage?
So you realize you're like, oh, the thing I do sometimes means something to people.
Yeah.
And that's what I think the players can feel a little hurt by, the fact that a group of people decided, hey, you know what, this year's all weird.
I don't think it's so weird. I think it's that Toronto has played, they had to play Montreal and Vancouver way more than anyone else had to play like the same teams. And I think it's being done to say, like, maybe Montreal and Vancouver didn't pose a big enough competition. So some of the points that Toronto has were easily achieved. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to disparage Vancouver or Montreal, really Montreal, because Vancouver, you know who you are. But I think it's like Toronto kind of got a lot of these points too easily. So if they win it, it's not fair.
You could say that about a lot of different teams, whether it's even just like a playoff spot or whatever. Like, it just feels like to go this far to say, like,
I'm taking my ball and I'm going home.
Yeah, to be like, yeah. No, nobody deserves this award is... it's such a severe reaction to what I think the purpose of playing soccer throughout everything that's been going on, to the fact that we have sports, given everything that's going on, everything that we know is giving us some sense of normalcy in our lives, and awarding the Supporter Shield is a sense of normalcy, which I don't think is illegitimate or unfair or whatever. I think it's reason enough to award it and be like, if it's an asterisk, put a damn asterisk on the supporters shield. Who cares?
But make it a big asterisk. Who cares? We should come up with a gully shield, Doug, and just give it to somebody. Don't forget, we got Miguel Gallardo when we get back right after this. Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Ooh, a new sponsor, Viori Clothing.
That's right, a new perspective on performance apparel, and it is absolutely perfect if you are sick and tired of traditional old workout gear.
Well, I need to go get workout gear in the past to get sick and tired of, but I will tell you this.
Is this product the time machine?
Oh, no. Should I have found myself disgusted or tired of other workout gear? But you know, it's funny. I got myself two pants. Because you know me, I just love lounging around in my underwear in my home, and I'm the only one. And the neighbors are even like, we need to get you more curtains, bro. But I love it. So D was like, come on, it's starting to get cold. Please start wearing pants. And I got these two. I got two performance joggers. And yo, let me tell you something. These things are so comfortable, and you can go outside in them. So it's like, you know what I mean? If I got to throw out trash, now I don't have to go find pants. I got them right here. You know what I mean? If I got to go get a sandwich, yeah, I'm already wearing the pants.
Because you usually throw out the trash with no pants, and it's becoming a problem in your neighborhood.
You know, I did it once, and turns out, even at 2 in the morning, people are walking by.
So, yeah, I got the performance shorts, which are great. They have a lining on the inside as well. I feel like...
Like the OG like Jordan, right?
Yeah, I feel like an NFL cornerback in training, you know what I mean?
You so know,
it's dope. But I honestly
catching passes from Nutmeg.
My favorite thing is the shirt. I got like a performance crew, and it's like I think that's kind of the main thing is that it's workout clothing that you can do absolutely anything with. You can hike, you can do yoga, you can play soccer, you can literally do anything. You can just lounge around like Alexis.
Right.
So there's a lot of options. Okay, it's incredibly versatile.
In fact, the one you got, it says here that it's one short for every sport, right? Which includes, I guess, sitting on the couch and playing FIFA, which, right? Hey, look, athletes play video games. Hey, I don't know what you're talking about.
You're an e-gamer, okay? You're not just laying there, okay?
I got to start gaming so I can claim that. But these, I'm not kidding. Like, they're kind of like almost like sweatpants, really, the other ones that I have here. They're a little bit of a thicker material, and these just came in perfect now that the weather's starting to get a little bit chilly, especially in this house where I don't control the heat in my apartment.
Exactly.
So this is absolutely perfect. So you can lounge, you can do whatever. You could either play sports or you could eat food in them.
And look, Viori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at VioriClothing.com/gully.
That's V-U-O-R-I clothing.com/gully. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but hey, how about you enjoy some free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns? I don't even think they offer that. I think that's just us giving you free returns. may not be true.
That's the Cooligans hookup.
Okay? We got you, yo. So just go to VioriClothing.com/gully and discover the versatility of Viori Clothing. All right, baby, and we're back on a Cooligans Living Room FC, and we have our guest in. I think this might be the 753rd goalkeeper we've spoken to.
You know what? I'll be honest. We don't have enough goalkeepers on this show.
Yeah, let's talk to more people who stop shots. But this dude, absolutely incredible. We actually got to meet him when we were doing a little thing for MLS, and this dude, absolutely hilarious, and we're like, yo, he's such a good speaker. He should do something in that, and it turns out he does that for Orlando City. Yes.
He's a proper broadcaster.
Yeah.
Okay?
Thank you for taking our advice, dude.
Yeah, man.
This guy absolutely hilarious. If you've watched Orlando City matches, you know exactly who this dude is. If you went to Orlando City matches back in the day, you definitely know who this is. Put your hands together for the one, the only, unless you're driving, for Miguel Gallardo, everybody.
Miguel, what's up, man?
Yeah, man. You said a couple of statements right. The one thing you got wrong is good goalkeeper. I was a terrible goalkeeper. And I'm probably worse as a broadcaster, but you know, I love it. I love talking about football. I love meeting people like you guys, and I'm really honored to be here with you guys. It's fantastic.
Oh, well, absolutely. That, okay, look, all right. The most modest goalkeeper I think we've ever spoken to. No, you know what? We did meet. We were doing an MLS watch along during the MLS's back bubble. Obviously, it was in Orlando. What was the Orlando City has been a team? I mean, look, let's be honest. I've been on the end of a couple of a couple roasts, a couple jokes. The early years of in MLS.
Yeah. I believe you mean every year until this year.
But no, what has that turnaround been like for you to get to witness such? Obviously, new coach Oscar Pareja. And just what seems to be a revitalized Orlando City.
Yeah, man, look, it's been crazy, and I'm speaking from the heart, you know, as a supporter of this club. I love this club. I mean, I played here. I had opportunities to go other places. Don't think, like, way bigger and better, just other places. And and I didn't go because I love this community. I love this place. I love the people here. I met my wife now here. And so it's a special place in my heart for Orlando. So to see it struggle once it became an MLS team was very difficult, you know. And the fans deserve better. And every supporter base deserves better. I mean, absolutely, right? But you know, this supporter base did a lot to support this team throughout all this difficult time. And so to see it now change and evolve and see this fan base now have high standards, suddenly, you know, winning 20-0 is not good enough now. It's not good enough. But it's really refreshing. You know, it's really refreshing. And it's been so much work, you know, behind what's going on outside the pitch that people sometimes don't think about. You know, they talk about, oh, this is a different team. Well, it's not. There's a lot of pieces that were the same from before, but it's been a rebuild from last year. You know, so many players that came into last year that made an immediate impact, but somehow got sucked into that negative, all due respect culture and vibe that was here, you know? So it's very difficult not to fall into that. And, but little by little, they've been able to change pieces. You know, players that maybe were good before, unfortunately, as Major League Soccer has evolved, haven't evolved with the game, or they've given the best that they could give. All credit to them. They achieved some great, wonderful things. But as you guys know, this game keeps changing. And it becomes more physical as well. And it becomes more tactical as well. And so, you know, now bringing Oscar Pareja, I think that, you know, you talk about people with all kinds of experience out there, right? Mourinho has a lot of experience. There's all kinds of coaches with a lot of experience. But I think you need to bring a guy with the right kind of experience.
Wait, was Mourinho one of the candidates?
Well, you know, I don't want to say. But you know what I mean? Orlando,
that'd be interesting.
Disney, you know, anybody who comes to Canada at this point, right? You know, you talked about, okay, well, you know, you have a guy in Oscar Pareja who played in Major League Soccer, who played in Colombia, right? He's got the Latin sauce. He played, you know, for the Dallas Burn. By the way, I played against Oscar Pareja with the Dallas Burn. I was playing PDL way back in the day in Austin. I got to play against him. So he doesn't know that. Don't tell him that.
Did he score on you?
No, he didn't. Come on, man.
Yeah.
He didn't even shoot. You know, he's got that going on, you know, so he knows the Latin culture, the Latin player. And if you guys remember, there's been a lot of good young prospect, Latin prospect, but unfortunately, I don't think that they've had that connection with a coach to be able to maximize their potential, right? And so when you have
you telling me that James O'Connor couldn't connect with the Latin players?
I will say this, and I love James O'Connor. I played with him. I mean, what a guy, great human being. He was doing everything that he could to learn his Espanol. Every time I went to see him, he would drop something in Spanish, which is great. But look, you can be so fluent in Spanish if you don't understand the culture, if you didn't live it.
It's difficult.
It's difficult, right? It's difficult to relate to this cat. So I think that was a huge plus. But also Oscar Pareja understands the American player. I mean, you got to have American players that played in the league, that won things, that understand the grind, that understand that in 3 months break, which South American Europeans, they don't understand 3 months break. They don't know how to take care of themselves. The
That's
reality
retirement.
Is,
that's a retirement for
you know
Latino
what I'm saying? Dude. You know what I mean? Because in 3 months over there, I mean, there's going to be a lot of salsa dancing, a lot of tacos, a lot of everything because you know, you're used to being micromanaged by teams. And so the American player is very professional in that sense. You know, take care
of himself. The Latinos go back to South America like, am I the only one on 3 months? Am I fired? And they're not telling me?
That's what I'm saying. Dude, it's exactly right. You know, it's exactly right. Especially the younger the players are. You know, because you grew up in a culture where you're training every day, right? You're training every day. You're going to train. You're going back home. And you're really taking care of yourself, and you don't have no time to think. You really don't have anything to think. And we're here. You know, they go back. So they go back. They got a little bit of money in their pocket. You know what I mean? They got a little bit of free time. You know, they got a little bit of their family, the holidays. It's very difficult to maintain the level of sharpness that you left the season with. So, you know,
especially with Abuela cooking for you.
Dude, that's the worst part.
Because she'll get mad at you for not eating, you know? She'll
get
gringo,
she'll get the chanclas out. Like,
oh, my God. Imagine.
Yeah.
No, Abuela, I'm not allowed to eat arroz. What?
No, man, but listen, it's just a different culture. And so, when you have a guy like Oscar Pareja, he understands both sides of the coin. So, you know, he's able to relate. And as I like the way they call it in England, they call them managers, right? They call them managers because this game, it's about managing players. It's about managing, you know, people's emotions. How can you get the best out of players? You know, and it can't just be X's and O's. So though the producer did say that Alexis is not all X's and O's, the dude knows his game. And I have to give it to Christian. I'm not saying that you don't. I just haven't heard you.
Okay, well, thank you for throwing me under the bus, Miguel.
Also, out of the two of us, Christian knows way more than me.
I don't want to be on your back line, okay? You know what I mean? I don't know how much we'd really communicate and support each other.
But, dude, I think the guy understands the culture. He understands both types of players, the nationalities. And you know, so and I think going to Mexico to play to coach for Cholos de Tijuana,
yeah,
he saw something different. And I think he saw an evolution that maybe sped up his evolution, if that makes any sense. Because the one thing about Liga MX teams, they all play differently, you know, and tactics sometimes go out the window. Well, at least what it's hard to see it's things that are planned. Certainly you got a right back finishing across on the left side. There's so many moving pieces that as a coach, you just have to evolve if you want to hang in the game. Yeah. And so I think him seeing all those different things, all those different elements and being able to succeed while he's learning, I think he brought up his game even higher. So for Orlando City, thanks to Luis Musi, because of those relationships, to be able to get him here, I think he's certainly been the catalyst of what's happening here in Orlando right now.
We spoke to him a couple, about 2 years ago. He was left an impression on us, and we just spoke to him for like 20 minutes. He's incredible.
Yeah, he is.
Miguel, I want to talk to you and get to know you a little bit more because we don't, frankly, we don't know you personally too well.
Who are you and what have you done?
But I want to know. Because I was looking up your career and the teams you played for, and you had mentioned obviously growing up in Texas and playing against Pareja, but you also you played for the Austin Aztecs, which is a team, obviously the team that moved and became Orlando City. So you're, you know, one of the OGs, and you know, I wasn't following the Aztecs, but I as soon as we started like doing the show and hearing about the team and its history, it became clearly that it was a significant thing, especially with Austin FC coming into MLS. So what was soccer like in Austin at that time for you? What was that after the team left? How did it affect the city?
Yeah, man. Look, it's been a long, long time. It's great history, and it did start with Austin Aztecs. You know, the owners of Orlando City back then were the owners of Austin Aztec. They came. It's Phil Rollins and his wife, Kay Rollins, ex-wife Kay Rollins. You know, just great people. They came to Austin to start a pro club, and I had just come back from playing professionally with Tigres. I spent 1 year there with Tigres. Never made my debut. I wasn't good enough, and I got back to Austin where I actually grew up. I moved there when I was 15. So I came back to Austin and, you know, the Austin Aztecs came in town. So I was like, all right, I'll check it out. In fact, there was a tryout for the Austin Aztecs, and I got megged by one of my teammates that I played men's soccer with. And I got megged, and within 10 minutes, I got called by the assistant coach and I said, hey, do you want to sign for the team? And I was like, did you just not see? I just got megged. So what kind of team is this? What's happening here? But then the dude was like, hey, listen, we know who you are, you know, you this and that, and following your career. So and by saying you know who you are, I was really good at men's soccer. That's what he meant. And so I signed, and then look, we had a great three seasons over there. You know, especially the last one, I think we went undefeated for like 11 and 12 games. Adrian Heath came into the picture. We played in a stadium downtown. It's called House Park, which was right in the heart of downtown. And you guys know Austin. Austin's such a cool city. That's why I'm so excited for Austin FC to finally get their MLS franchise and Matthew McConaughey doing voiceovers. I mean, it just doesn't get better than that, right? So it was a great time. It was a great time. But for whatever reason, they felt like the team wasn't carrying enough momentum. They weren't getting the support that they felt like they wanted and they were longing for. And the idea to come to Orlando, there's a whole lot of story why it was Orlando. It could have been a couple other cities that were in the picture. Charleston was one of those cities. They ended up coming to Orlando. And since we came to Orlando, it was a big decision for me to come to Orlando because I'll be honest with you. I had already started a business in Austin. Playing for a pro team in Austin was great for me. It was a lot of fun, but you know, I was business oriented. You know, I had my business going on, and I was like, all right, well, what do I want to do here? Do I want to follow this team, or do I want to continue to the path that you know that I've already started here and it's going relatively well? But you know. I don't think I've ever told anybody this, but I never really was my dream to play professional, you know. I loved the game. I played it all the time, but it was kind of just a consequence of me growing up in Mexico, playing every day, you know what I mean, playing with my friends and being above average athletically. And so I got pretty good at it, especially with my feet. And that actually was what kind of set me apart during my time was my ability to play out of the back, being calm, because I used to be a field player when I was younger and that kind of carried through. Yeah. And so that was important for a team like Adrian Heath, somebody that could play out the back and you know, and I still a hard thing to find if you do it well, you know, I was average. So, so yeah, man. So look, you know, I decided to come and I wanted to, you know, pursue this to see how far it could go. And we came to Orlando, and as you guys know, 2011, and we started off brilliantly, and we ended up winning a national championship that year. 2012, we went to the semifinals. We lost because of a fluke, but we were always dominant. 2013, we won the national championship again. 2014, went to Disney, and we were the best team. So look, it was great. It was great. You know, it was a great decision. It changed my life completely. And now I'm here, you know, doing this, you announcing games that also came out of a consequence out of what I did here as a player. And I just couldn't be more proud and just more thankful for all the opportunities that have come my way because of making that big decision of coming from Austin, from the team coming to Austin.
Yeah, what was the business?
As any, you know, hardworking Mexican, it was doing paint. It was paint.
Oh,
you
know? Really?
But I wasn't actually doing the work. I'm too sloppy. I learned how to do it, and I also learned how to sell it. So I started it was called Resurfacing Company, which my brother still has. He's banking. He's making 3-4 times much money. Now I know I made the wrong decision, but he's well taken care of. But it was resurfacing of like countertop bathtubs. And so I knew how to do it. I wasn't good at doing it, but what I did.
You were better at delegating.
I was better at getting the job and supervising and make sure it wasn't done as bad as I would have done it.
Pizza. I'm so much better at pointing at a pizza and going, here's what you did wrong, than I am actually doing it. You got to know your role. I'm more of a pizza subcontractor.
Yes. That's what I was. I was a subcontractor. So, yeah, man. And, you know, that worked out really well. And, you know, it was nice. It was really, really nice. But, you know, even though I do say that maybe it wasn't my growing up, wasn't my dream, my ultimate dream to play professional soccer. I mean, it's in my blood, right? I mean, I wanted to do it all the time and it was fun. And that's why maybe my decisions throughout my career weren't chasing the next big contract. I was just happy here. You know, and also I just met my girlfriend, you know what I'm saying? You're not taking me away from here. So, you know, that's why my decisions are reflective of how I grew up and kind of my ambitions. And my ambitions have always been just to be happy, man, just to be happy. And, you know, I wasn't chasing the dollars. I wasn't chasing the next big contract. I just wanted to be in a place where I felt like I belonged, where people appreciated my services, where I could help in the community. I work for the Orlando City Foundation now, which is a big thing that I'm very proud of, you know, building those mini pitches, providing free soccer service to kids from difficult situations. a lot of Latinos, a lot of black folks from the community here in Panama, a lot of, you know, a lot of gringuitos as well. Everybody, man, it's a free soccer for all, right? It's called soccer for all. So that's something I'm really proud of. So, you know, when I had all those elements together, I was like, why do I want to move? What do I want to leave? And so right now, thankfully, when I retired from playing 4 years ago, I got called from Orlando City and they say, hey, you can, you know, you talk a lot of smack. You want to come and try and do it on TV? And so I came and it's just been a wonderful journey that provided so many opportunities for me to grow and, you know, just really blessed to be in the position that I'm in and get to talk to guys like you about football and pizza.
Yeah, I love that. Just we go from, you know, you were mentioning all the resume of like, we won the championship, we got to the semifinals. And then before that, you're like, I'm just an average professional goalkeeper, whatever. Just enough of the self-deprecation, okay?
Had nothing to do with me.
Okay, look, Miguel, if we need to tell you that we're proud of you,
we are. Where's Oscar Pereja and all this? Yeah. And he also gets to work with one of our good friends, Ali Krieger. Joy it is for him. One of the questions I had is, so we don't get a chance to speak to players that this happens to, right? You see this a lot in Europe. A team gets promoted and the entire team celebrates, right? And you know, as a fan of, if you're watching neutral, you're like, not all those guys are going to make it to the next, you know, to the next, you know, iteration, to that promotion. They're not going to get the chance to play at that higher level. You were with Orlando where we had an American promotion, right? They bought their way into MLS and you didn't get that opportunity to move on. Was that a little bittersweet for you? Did you think you were going to get that chance, or you seem like a pretty positive dude? Maybe you just, you know, took your lumps as it came. You want to tell us a little bit about that moment in that transition?
Yeah, man, you're absolutely right. I am a person that takes everything that happens to me as honey. It's a plus. I don't deserve this. And I don't mean as in I'm trying to be pessimistic. It's a lot of people have it worse than me. So anything that comes my way is honey. So to say that I wasn't upset, I would be lying. But I wasn't upset that long. You know, I wasn't upset that long. Could I tell it was coming? Yes and no. You know, without diving too much into the story, into the, you know, the things that happened behind closed doors, I could sense that there was a possibility. I had heard that they already signed a couple of goalkeepers before the season was even over. And there was a lot of changes in the front office, you know, and people that had already their agendas, their people, you know, and so that happens in every industry, you know, and there's not many things that you can do. So I just took it as, you know, it is what it is. This is the industry. And I made the decision to not go places. I made the decision not to sign certain things. I made those decisions, and this is the consequence of those decisions. Is it a bad consequence? I don't know. I'll tell you in 20 years. But right now, this is what it is, and that's what happened. And so, and the other thing, too, is that the Jackson Armada came a couple of weeks later, offered me twice as much money as I was making here. So that kind of helped out a little bit, and to live by the beach. And I was like, all right, that's not so bad. So, it was upsetting because, you know, I wanted to continue here. You know, I did, you know, we did all the hard work. Nothing was ever promised to me that I was going to make the jump to MLS. The promise of the team going MLS was here since the beginning, and that was a huge incentive. However, to me personally, nothing was ever promised. So for me to say, oh, they did me wrong, that wasn't the case, you know. And you always got to look at yourself in the mirror, too. Did I do everything that I could that last year? You know, was I the best that I could have been that last year? Did I save everything that I needed to save that year to be able to have a justification and have an argument to say, hey, this is wrong. You told me wrong. You know, sometimes I think, like, for me, you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, okay, somebody maybe not didn't do something that's favorable to me, but did I do everything I could to be able to have an argument, right? To say, why has this happened to me? So, you know, it would have been great, but it didn't happen that way. I'm staying in good terms. You know, even halfway through the season of Jackson Armada, I received a call that there was a couple of talks about potentially coming back. You know, close that chapter, moving on. And then, you know, I played for Jackson Armada 2 years. It was a great time, great experience. I was able to stay home to my wife now, you know, and then my wife, you know, and then we had a baby. And so that was when my decision to retire from soccer was. I had an opportunity to continue to play, you know, move away. But I was like, you know, am I going to move away and not be with my kid? My wife couldn't travel because, you know, I have stepkids, so she couldn't travel due to jurisdiction. So I was like, you know, I played what I needed to play. I had a great time. I got a chance to play against some incredible players. I mean, some incredibly, like, ridiculous international games, man. We played Sao Paulo. We played Fluminense. We played Roma. We played Newcastle. We played Bolton. I mean, the list goes on and on. The experiences were wonderful. And for me, it was like, it's my next step. You know, I got to be a father. I want to be there every day for my daughter. And the decision was, you know, was very, very, very easy to make. And then, you know, God works in mysterious ways. I had not told anybody that I was retiring, and I got a call from Orlando City to potentially get into this business. So, you know, when I go back and realize that I wasn't upset because everything happened for a reason, I'm thankful that, you know, anything bad happens to me, I'm always like, you know, it is what it is. We got to move on, and that's that.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, yeah, you went from, you know, catching soccer balls to diapers. You know? You just chose.
And even
it's
those
a
got
similar transition.
Yeah, yeah. And even those got through me.
She's like, how did you fumble that?
I'm not wearing gloves. I'm not wearing gloves.
That's your wife's like, stop parrying them. You got to catch them.
That is the one. That's the one of the misconceptions about goalkeepers is that people expect them to be really good at catching things without their gloves. Gloves is half the battle, people. Good gloves is half the battle. If you're not wearing gloves, you're just a mere mortal, just like anybody else.
Okay, so we have a couple questions from our fans, from our supporters group. We have Gully Squad, and we got a question from Freddie Alarcón, who is an Orlando City supporter.
A massive Orlando City supporter.
Yeah, loves Orlando City. I believe he's our only Orlando City supporter in our group.
But he won't shut up enough about it that it feels like there's a lot more.
That's great. But he says, this is a question. He goes, oh, captain, my captain. He goes, how does the club operate differently today in MLS than from his playing days in USL Pro? Are there any areas where you feel the club as an organization needs to improve on? Now, obviously, we're not trying to ruin your job. Right. Whatever you feel is within bounds.
Yeah. Well, look, it's a completely different monster, right? The employee base goes from, I don't know, 20 back then to hundreds. You know, it's just a completely different operation, and there's so many elements that change, and it's difficult to make that transition because the substantial change within an organization at the USL level and the MLS level, the pressure is way higher, the expectation is higher, the investment is higher, and to get all those things right away is very, very difficult. So, you know, what can I say? You know, there has been a lot of change. It's been a process. When you say trust the process, you know, people seem to think what process, you know, when you cut a player, when you cut a coach, when you change somebody from the front office, you know, people sometimes say, well, I thought it was a process. Well, part of the process is making mistakes, you know, to then continue with that process. That is part of the process, is to change those things within that process. It's a bigger process. So, you know, it's been a process. There's been some, you know, situations that some decisions that they've made since the beginning, they realized that those weren't those decisions. Those decisions left you learning lessons. And as you guys can tell where the club is now, you know, you're realizing that the one thing that you can tell for sure is that they've learned from their mistakes, and they evaluate, and they, you know, they just got to move forward. But it's a completely different monster. And I think, you know, for Orlando to be, what, this is a fifth year, if I'm not mistaken, in Major League Soccer, it seems like forever. But if you really think about it, it's really not that long. And unfortunately, teams like Atlanta United came to ruin this, where you can't, you know, LAFC came to ruin this, where you can't do it right away. But what people don't understand is the amount of investment that was made in teams like Atlanta United and LAFC right away. And Orlando City has not been able to make that sort of investment. You know, Toronto FC, I mean, how much money have they spent? And it took them how many years? 10 years to make it into the playoffs for the first time or something like that. So, you know, these two teams, Atlanta United and LAFC, you know, they kind of set themselves apart, not saying that the organization doesn't do things properly, but the amount of money that they've had to spend, it's also considerably different than what Orlando City has done. The other thing too, Orlando City was forced to obviously, you know, build that downtown Soccer Pacific Stadium, Atlanta United, obviously that's, you know, they're the Falcon Stadium. You know, maybe if you think about it, Orlando City could have spent those $155 whatever million dollars into players, we're talking a different story. Maybe we already won a championship. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of elements. Teams and franchises work differently because of the resources. But right now, Orlando City, within this fifth year, since making the jump to Major League Soccer. I think they're making great steps, and this is their time, man. This is their time.
Yeah, yeah. They this is the sixth year.
This is the sixth year, yeah.
It is the sixth year.
It feels like 5 years just in 2020.
I would just add that I would love for NYCFC to have to spend the $155 million for a stadium. That'd be lovely.
Although in New York, that gets you a studio apartment.
That's for sure, man. Yep.
We are here with Orlando City announcer Miguel Gallardo. All right, so let's talk about this roster a little bit, because the MLS is back bubble. This felt like a re-energized team. Especially the thing that impressed me the most was being able to win games late. That was the thing I was just like, wow, is this the same Orlando City we've been seeing the last few years? We know Nani, right? And he's, they say I might be related to Nani. Who knows? we don't need to look into it, but I hope so.
I'm looking into it right now.
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah. So but the one thing I want to talk about, a couple of players that are really making a difference, and Chris Money Mueller, you get to see him up close. What has been this change? This year has been unbelievable. I mean, is he looking just like a leader on the team, he clearly has a green light to go 1v1 at some defenders. But what have you made of his progress for this team?
Oh man, that's really fascinating to see Chris Cash Money Mueller continue to evolve. You know, he came in as a prospect that you knew he was a quality player. I'll give you a nugget. When I spoke to Jose Mabasan, the assistant coach, and Oscar Pareja about Chris Mueller, they said, well, when he got drafted by Orlando, he was in our list. We wanted to draft him. So this is a guy that they know about. So whenever they realized they were going to have the opportunity to work with him, obviously that much more exciting. And we know those guys know how to develop, right? They know how to make players better. The one thing with Chris Mueller, nobody's denying his his technical abilities. You know, he's a guy that has a great attitude as well. Always works extremely hard, willing to defend, willing to follow, you know, his fullback. But I think during his evolution is that decision-making was the one that for me needed to continue to develop. When to speed up the play, when to slow down, you know, read the different moments of the game, when to pass, you know what I mean? When to dribble. And those things are very, very difficult to understand. But as he continues to evolve, he understands these things, you know what I mean? He's become a leader. He's done that really well. I think what he's done really well this year is his understanding of space. You know, his understanding of space and his ability to manipulate space. And I think when a player understands that, you can maximize your technical and tactical abilities. And that's where he's at. And he continues to work really hard. And also it doesn't hurt when you have Mauricio Pereira, you have guys like Nani that attract so much attention. So the amount of times that you can find Chris Mueller 1v1 are pretty often in a game. And if you're a defender, that's the one thing you don't want to happen. But if you worry too much about doing overloads to make sure that you don't get 2v1, 1v1 versus Mueller, guess who's 1v1 on the other side? Nani. Yeah. So it's like if you're a defensive line, it's like, okay, who do we worry about? And so add to that Juan making overlapping runs on that right side. And it's like, it's so hard. I would hate to be going against an Orlando City team right now that has a lot of dynamism within their pieces. And Chris Mueller is definitely taking advantage of the players around them.
Let's also talk a little bit about Dika, because this guy came, what feels like to us, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The guy is built like a linebacker. And he's just, I mean, when you talk about the American, you know, target man, center forward, you know, you don't have many names to pull from. And this guy with his back to goal might be the best we have in the country. And another player who came from college, and everyone's saying you can't get talent from college. Where was he? And what was it that unlocked this incredible amount of skill?
Well, he was eating a lot of protein somewhere and growing crazily. Well, he comes
from
a family.
Time to stop doing push-ups. He doesn't need it anymore.
Dude, squats, push-ups, you know, whatever. Dude, the dude is solid. The dude is massive. So definitely not under the radar. Obviously, he went number 5 in the draft. And probably could have gone higher if it wasn't for New England Revolution and Nashville looking for defensive-minded players, Kessler being one of them, with New England Revolution doing a great job there. So another player there that's, you know, coming from college, doing a lot of good things. Robinson, number one for Miami. It was a choice by them. They could have gone with Darryl DK. I'm not saying they made the right choice or the wrong choice, but that certainly Darryl DK was somebody that was highly sought after. Scored, I think, 16 goals in a couple of seasons. The dude is 19 years old, and he comes from a family of greatness. You know, his brother, yeah. Bright DK, who I had an opportunity to play with, I can testify that he has an absolute cannon of a ball. He was with Portland. I was with Austin Aztecs. He shot it. By the time I saw the ball, he was already celebrating. That dude was a cannon. His sister also played for the Nigerian national team. So he's got the pedigree. But you make a really, really good point. It's about his ability to combine and drop and ability to play with his back to goal. The dude is smooth. He's so smooth and he's so smart. And that's the one thing that I think sets him apart. Yes, he looks like a freaking linebacker. You do not want to go against him 1v1. And I think he's terrorized center backs that he's played against so far. They do not want to play against this dude. But he's very smart. He's great movement, very intentional in his movement. And so, you know, 19 years old, you talk about the lack of quality forwards with the U.S. men national team at the moment, at least the lack of amount, the lack of numbers, right? There's some good ones. Zardes is still killing it. Jozy Altidore is still there. You know, probably a couple more players in there. But I think he's a player that needs to be paid attention to in the upcoming years, because he's somebody that can raise his hand and do really an awful lot for the U.S. men national team. And, you know, what, he's got like 4 goals and like very limited time, I think like 10 games or something like that. Yeah. And the little things that he does to make sure that the team, I mean, he helps out Chris Mueller a lot because he occupies both center backs. Therefore, when Chris Mueller tucks inside, now he doesn't have to deal with that center back and he's the fullback. You know what I mean? So it's all connected. Yeah. And he's fit right in. He's been able to solve a problem that Orlando City had when they lost on Dwyer, who, as you guys know, has a season-ending injury.
Correct. It's just, if you're a center back, you see him turn his back to you, you're like, oh no, he's good with the back to the goal. Then he turns around and he hits you one-on-one. You're like, let's try the side. You can't be good in the back and the front. This is not fair.
Yeah, I know, dude. Hold on, let me get some help. Yeah.
What are you doing? You know, you're looking at your other defenders.
The last player I do want to get some thoughts on is the goalkeeper. Obviously, Pedro Gallese has been unreal. Yeah. This season, bringing in a clear confidence in the net that probably didn't permeate to the rest of the players. What has he meant to Orlando City?
Oh man, you're talking about the dude got style. He's got swagger. He's got that new hairstyle every day. He look like a reggaeton artist when he shows up to a training ground. You know, he got it going on. And look, he's a number one goalkeeper for a Peruvian national team, where you guys know, if you ask me to play the CONMEBOL qualifiers, the pressure, the stadiums that you play, what's at stake, the countries, how they live the game, I just don't think experience-wise it gets any bigger than that. So there's nothing that he's going to see here in Major League Soccer that's going to be like, oh, you know, what this is new to me.
Seattle's not going to say anything that's going to knock him off his focus.
Listen,
he's seen it. He's heard it.
Playing in Peru, packed stadium, playing in Bolivia in the altitude, packed stadium, you know, having to, you know, go penalty kick shootout versus Luis Suarez in Copa America. Yeah. And I mean, there's nothing new for him here. Now, that's not guaranteed success, right? No. That's not guaranteed success. But right off the bat, experience-wise, you got somebody that you know that you can count on. But he's backed it up with incredible saves. The dude, they call him El Pulpo for a reason, the octopus. He pulls tentacles from – I mean, the saves that he's made are ridiculous. But the most important thing about those saves is the timing in which he makes those saves. When your team is struggling and, you know, you get an opportunity, the other team gets an opportunity, he bails you out and he changes the game. You know, against Chicago Fire, Long City's winning 2-0, penalty kick, posh, save. You know, NYCFC in the Major League Soccer back tournament, 2-1, 2 unbelievable saves. You know, keep the score 2-1, and not only
he
that,
reminds me a lot of like Zach Steffen, where you could tell the team in front of him feels like they're fine because he's back there. He feels like the last defender.
All right, thank you for watching. Thank you, Miguel Gallardo, for joining us. We really appreciate it. We've had a couple Orlando City players on the show, but it is nice to, especially this season. It feels great. It's we're talking to Orlando in a much more positive sense, and it feels
we're getting
good.
It so, all in now. just in case next season.
You never know. You never know.
Miguel, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Guys, just that it's been a pleasure. Thank you guys for inviting me. Thank you guys for what you do. Bring a different, you know, different side of the game, you know, that, that make people happy. So I appreciate that. On my end, you know, obviously you can follow me on Twitter at MIGALLARDO, that's my name, 01, Miguel Gallardo. And obviously a big shout out to the Orlando City Foundation. If you can check them out, you know, OrlandoCityFoundation.org. They do wonderful things here in the community of Orlando. They got a thing going on where people can donate to continue to help their mission. That's obviously really something dear to my heart, and it should be dear to all of us, since it's for the kids, and it's for the kids that need it the most to continue to play the beautiful game. And I'll always be an advocate of that.
Nice. Okay. All right, everybody. Yeah, make sure to show that support. All right. Also, remember, make sure you follow at Soccer Cooligans on all social media platforms. Make sure you follow at Fubo Sports on all social media platforms as well. And subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. So
it's getting big, too. You got to follow us. Hit that little notification button, son.
Yep.
Do all right. Yes, that I love. All right. So, Miguel, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition on the Cooligans. So for Miguel Gallardo, my name is Cristian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!